T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Fantasy Football Hour, Sunday, August 25th is the weekend. It is a huge fantasy football weekend. A lot of you have probably drafted already, but I'm hoping there's some Sunday drafts out there, Pete. How are you, bud?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's the best weekend of the year, and we do this a couple times a year. This weekend, always, Pete and I will drop a pre-recorded show, and we're doing this on Friday the 23rd. The reason is, A, it's a huge draft weekend. We're going to do all draft content. The other thing is, it's our annual draft. Are we on? Is this the 20th year, 21st year? Where are we? 22nd?
What day are we drafting? What day is today, Jim?
No. The anniversary.
Oh, you mean how many years?
Of Tuna. Are we 22 years now?
We started in 97.
Yeah, 22 years. So it's a big deal.
Broke up on me there first.
Yeah, no problem. So we're doing a little bit of a different kind of end around this weekend where we're going to go heavy into the draft stuff. It's draft season. And you're not going to get a lot of news of what happened on Saturday because we're dropping this early. So get into it, and we're going to get into the fun stuff. At Rotobon, where Pete is, at the Rotobon.com website, the Rotobon 500 is being updated daily. You dropped, how are your pipes right now? I'm doing a lot of talking. You dropped about, what, 8 podcasts this week?
I'm going to let you talk a lot today, Jim. Yeah, my voice is a little hoarse. I'm sorry. I've done like 8 podcasts this week. One of them was an hour and a half long.
Yeah, no, I caught that one. I said there was an auction drafting podcast. There was the Rotobon Draft Plan podcast. There were positional podcasts, a lot of stuff, and a conversation with our friend Sigmund Bloom. That was kind of an interesting one, too.
Always fun to talk to Sigmund Bloom. If you're not following Sigmund Bloom on Twitter, seriously, you got to do it.
All right. So let's get into it. One of the things that caught me, and I think which will be compelling for our listeners, is talking about the elites first, okay? And you've isolated. It changes every year. I think last year there were 18 people that we targeted as elites, and this year you have it at 21. But within that 21, there are some danger zones, which is kind of interesting, particularly at the top and at the bottom.
Yeah, I talked about those in the podcast I put up on Friday.
Yeah. Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I called them the decision points.
All right.
Elephants in the room, if you will.
Yeah. So do you want to get it?
We prefer not to think about. But the thing is, if you don't think about them, then you get confronted with them in drafts, and you're thinking while you're on the clock, and you don't want to do that.
You can't do that with these guys. And there's a lot of pitfalls. You know, Pitfall Harry is strong in the 2019 Elite 21. And there's a couple that are really just kind of hanging out there. And today, you know, on Friday, more news about Zeke Elliott. It goes one way, it goes the other. Red flag with him. Red flags with Todd Gurley, Antonio Brown. Red flags all over the place. So let's touch on those guys a little bit and how you approach it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've faded Elliott down to the bottom of the first tier. He was at the top of the tier. Now he's at the bottom.
Yep.
So I have had some reaction to it. I mean, point being, I'm not going to pass on McCaffrey or Barkley or Kamara for Elliott when they don't have problems and he does.
Right.
So that's pretty easy. But I'm not moving him down any further just because I just don't see the incentive for Dallas to push this very far, nor do I see the incentive for Zeke, who's playing under a fairly lucrative contract this year. So it seems in everybody's best interest that Zeke Elliott's playing football this year. I would be really surprised. Now, for people who are risk-averse and you want to take the next best guy on the board, go to a receiver instead, maybe, hey, I can't blame you. But for me, I want the hardware, and I think if you're in the four hole and Zeke Elliott's on the board, your best chance at the hardware is to take Zeke Elliott. The other two guys, you know, it's a little more dicey because when we're talking about Gurley, we're talking about a guy who may not be the same player anymore, right?
That knee is a concern. It was a concern when he came out of college. Now, he's had a couple big years, but like the end of last year is a concern to me, and there's been no news that I've come across that there's been any improvement there.
Well, I don't think that's true. I think there has been improvement. I mean, he's practicing now, and they say he looks great. My guess is that week one, we're going to see Todd Gurley, and he's going to look like Todd Gurley, and he's going to play like Todd Gurley, which, by the way, leads us to a potential strategical way to do this, which is draft Todd Gurley and then flip him. It's not the worst idea, because our concerns for him are that something's going to happen during the year that's going to exacerbate this knee condition.
Yeah,
right?
That it wears down.
I don't know if he wore down last year. I think it's more that he, you know, that he tweaked the thing. Mm. And when you've got a hot knee and you tweak it, it takes longer to cool down. So I think it's a condition exacerbated by injury. So what we know about Gurley now is that if his knee gets heated up, if something happens to it, if it gets rocked a little bit, even if it stays structurally intact, it's going to impact him more than an average player. He, you know, if a guy's going to be out with a knee bruise for a week, it's probably 2 weeks for Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
Right? So to me, that's sort of the way to look at it. And then we have to look at how much do we believe the Rams in terms of this workload thing. They're saying they're really going to scale back his workload. So I sort of believe them. But here's my thing on Todd Gurley. If you're the Rams and you want to try to save some tread on Todd Gurley's tire, where are you likely to rest Todd Gurley? And especially when you've got this new satellite back, Darrell Henderson. I don't think they're pulling Gurley out on the 10 or the 5
yeah.
or the stripe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what made Todd Gurley exceptionally valuable last year? Red zone usage in a phenomenal offense.
Yep.
That was the thing that put him into the stratosphere.
And uptick in the passing game, too.
Yeah, the offense is rolling, and he's the guy, and he's getting everything inside the red zone, and it's creating crazy fantasy numbers. Now, don't get me wrong. He's good on his own 20 as well. But the thing that made him a fantasy monster is this insane involvement in the red zone on a team that kept scoring, okay? I think, barring a re-injury, he should retain most of that. So to me, he should still be in that RB1 discussion at the end of the year, I think. Mm. So I'm very comfortable taking him in the second round. If I get to that point where all the guys who I know are healthy are gone, and I talked about it on the podcast, Jim. If you're sitting there, and right now Gurley's going at about 20, right?
Yeah, you have him right at his ADP.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're sitting there at 20 and you're looking at Todd Gurley, and you know that if you pass on Gurley, then the guy with Zeke is going to get him,
yeah.
or the guy with Kamara is going to get him, or CMC, or Saquon Barkley. I don't know how excited I am about giving that him to those guys.
Yeah, you just gifted a potential title to somebody.
Right, and I'm not getting the title if one of those guys is 10 times better than me. So I'm going to be tempted to clean him out at that spot, especially if I like my first-round pick. Like, if I took Chubb in the first round, and then I come back with Gurley in the second, I've got Cleveland goal line back and the Rams goal line back. I
yep.
mean, I pretty don't feel good. Too bad about that.
Really
I'm
good offenses.
To take that risk.
Yeah, they score a lot, and I want to transition off of that just because you mentioned the guy I wanted to get to next, which is Nick Chubb. I love where you have him ranked right now. Okay?
Okay,
because his ADP has been pretty much like end of the second round. He's about 23, 24.
He's moving up.
But
I'm
you are ahead.
Go tail end first.
I'm going to give you a little credit on this one. I'll take you to task later, but okay. I'll give you a little credit on this one. But you've been early on him. I mean, I think like back in early August, you had him like at the turn and like pushing that first round. But you've got him right now as at number five, right outside of the elites.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I took him in the first round in the Beantown Brawl.
Yep.
You know, I took him over Beckham thinking better chance that Odell makes it around the turn to me than Chubb if I pass. And it worked because I got Odell anyway.
But that was more strategic based on the room.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
That's
now,
true.
Since then, 2 weeks later, I think it's been more just his natural rise up the rankings. He's a riser, you know?
Yeah, I mean, well, nothing's really changed for him with me. I mean, obviously the Duke Johnson thing, some people think that's a big deal. I thought they were already sort of de-emphasizing Duke, so I didn't see Duke as being a big factor anyway. Maybe part of it had to do with when I took Chubb, it just felt right.
Yep.
And that made me think, like, wait a minute, why don't I just have this guy here? You know, I mean, why do we put running backs in the first round? Because they've got guaranteed workload. Does he have it? Yeah. We put them there because they're going to get goal line carries. Is he going to get them? Yeah. We put them there because they're on offenses that we think are going to be good. Is he on an offense that we think is going to be good? Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the rationale for Chubb not being in the first round? So, you know, the rationale, I suppose, is that Kareem Hunt someday will be playing football again. And when that happens, he's going to take some of the ceiling away from Chubb. Well, you know what? If Chubb's got me rocking and rolling at the top of my league, I can live with a 15% reduction in upside. I really can.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, too. I mean, Hunt is out 8 weeks. If the Browns are rolling, which I suspect they will be with that offense, are they going to make a switch in week
That's
nine?
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
If you read the Rotobahn 500, it literally, you just took the words right out of my mouth. It was going to be the next thing I was going to say.
Yeah, I didn't
read it. Why are you going to upset the apple cart if you are? Like, I see the Browns as being like 8-2, right?
Yeah, they're going to be competitive at that point, no doubt.
Like that. And I think, you know, the struggles they have are more likely to be defensive related than offensive related, right?
So
to me, I think that offense is a hot knife through butter, barring injury. Will they supplement? Will they mix in Hyde in a optimal way? Sure. But not Hyde, sorry, Hunt. But, you know, I just don't see them getting, I don't see them putting Hunt in there in such a way that it would affect Chubb's mental state. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I don't see someone with, you know, coming in week nine on, look, if it's different, if the Browns are the Browns of 2017, he's playing. Oh, yeah. But it's not.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if it's a Hugh Jackson team, then I don't even want Chubb in any scenario. I'm just fading everybody because he's a disaster. But, yeah, I mean, this is a Kitchens-led team. It's a much better organization now. And Chubb, I mean, just look at what Chubb did after they gave him the job last year. He was unbelievable.
Unbelievable. It really fits that offense, too.
And that's without Odell Beckham tilting the field.
Yeah. I'm curious with that. Let's stay on the Browns for a minute. I'm curious where instinctually you are with Jarvis Landry. Now, Jarvis Landry has been a target monster for years. Even when he was in Miami, you got Beckham there now. You've got Nick Chubb. You've got Njoku, who kind of the big four there that we just talked about. He to me feels like the one who kind of loses the most. But I'm curious as to kind of like where you are instinctually with Landry.
In a fantasy sense?
Yeah.
Well, I think in a fantasy sense, he's volatile.
I agree.
My problem with Landry, and it's not a problem, I think he's an extremely underrated football player, like in a real football sense.
Yeah. Look, he made a lot of chops in Miami when they were terrible.
Yeah, look, you know, you want to sort of get a feel for how important Jarvis Landry is to a football team, just watch him on the sidelines. Watch how many teammates are always coming up to him, talking to him, asking questions. He's a team leader. And this guy was a team leader on the Dolphins, and that team was, like, beyond dysfunctional.
Yep.
Like, how many players would have just been like, I am getting my money, I'm just going to take care of myself, I am not going to get sucked down by this craziness that's going on around me? No, Landry didn't do that. He tried to lead.
Yeah.
Now, you got to respect a player who does that, in my opinion. And I think that's one of the reasons Cleveland targeted him. And now you've got Landry back together with Beckham. I love the synergy of this reunion. I love it because these are two guys who like playing together. And now they're going to bring out the best in each other. I think Odell Beckham plays harder football when he's on the field with Jarvis Landry. I think he doesn't want to let Jarvis Landry down.
You surround him with good people, then you're going to get something to pop.
I really think it's a good thing. And here's the thing about Landry. He is going to help your football team on every single play, whether he's the targeted receiver or not. He's going to rub other guys open. He is completely unselfish. He's going to spring your running backs for big plays. You know, he is the guy. I mean, Belichick would love Jarvis
Landry. We've said that before. He's got a little Troy Brown in him.
Yeah, but he's a little bit nastier than Troy Brown.
Yep.
You know, he's a little bigger and stronger than Troy Brown. So, I mean, if I'm an NFL GM and I have a chance to get Jarvis Landry, I'm all over it. I'm all over it. Now, the question, is he going to put up big counting stats for fantasy players? I'm not sure.
I don't know. His ADP right now is around 90, so like middle of the seventh round.
Yeah, I'm seeing him more often late fifth, mid sixth.
That early,
just for what it's worth, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I kind of like him at his ADP, or if I could get him a little later. I'm not psyched with him there.
I don't feel the upside with him.
Yeah,
although it could happen. Like, a lot of this is going to have to do with how do defenses attack the Browns. I mean, if they're tilting the field heavy to Beckham and they're trying to come up and stop the run, then Landry just the ball's going to find him.
Yeah.
Right. But I think teams are smart enough to realize that if they just sell out on the two big guys, Njoku and Landry will peck him to death. So I think teams will probably be a little more straight up, giving safety help on top with Beckham, because if you don't, you're dead.
Yep.
But the rest of it, I think, is going to be fairly straight up, which is going to aid Chubb. To me, Landry is a floor play. He could only be so bad.
Yeah.
I just don't see him, you know, again, counting stats and volume, I don't see it.
Yeah, no, I think you said it. I think he's a floor guy. So if you're in trouble and maybe you need a little security at receiver and you're coming into the fifth, sixth, seventh round, like that's a good guy to get, but you're not going to get the ceiling and the upside there. I'm with you on that. And that's why I was a little trepidatious about him.
Yeah, for example, if Robbie Anderson and Jarvis Landry are on the board, and
Robbie
Anderson, either one of them, I'm taking Robbie Anderson.
Me too.
Even though he's a little volatile.
Yep, I'm with you. All right, so I gave you a nice little pat in the back there for Nick Chubb. We could send some applause your way. Now, I want to kind of evaluate and not push back, but just offer, just kind of pick your brain a little bit on your elites, your 21 elites. And if you don't know what we're talking about, they're up at rotobon.com. But I'll rifle through them real quick.
Sure.
The tippity top, you know, McCaffrey, Barkley, Kamara, Elliott, Chubb, David Johnson, OBJ, Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio, Travis Kelce, Juju, Michael Thomas, James Conner, Joe Mixon, Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, a little low for my liking, Dalvin Cook, Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, AB. It's tough to argue with those guys, but given the situation with Gurley, Antonio Brown, the kind of scum dog that Tyreek Hill is, I'm curious, there's a couple guys just beneath him in your rankings that I'm wondering if you kind of toyed with them, because I would have, which are, you know, Kittle, Damian Williams, and Aaron Jones.
Yeah. Well, Aaron Jones, you know, he's got the off-field stuff. He had a marijuana thing.
Yeah.
So there's a little risk there. And he's been a guy who gets hurt. He's also a guy in a new scheme, so there's some doubt with that. To your point, I love Aaron Jones.
I do, too.
Incredible talent. I think if he stays healthy all year, he'll do very well.
Yep.
So I sort of like him at the 2-3 turn. I don't think he's an elite because, I mean, I don't trust the Packers' offense, to tell you the truth. I don't know what it's going to be yet.
That's what I love about him is that he's on the Packers' offense, you know, and I think he'll be a centerpiece.
Well, they're running the West Coast this year. I don't know what – there's two – I'm not big – anytime there's a coordinator switch, to me, there's a little doubt with that. I'm looking at Aaron Jones and Damian Williams. I'm just going to go with the KC scheme. Thank you very much, right?
Yep.
I love Aaron Jones as a talent, but he's never put together a big season. And he's on an offense where I don't know. I mean, remember, the people who drafted Aaron Jones are no longer really in charge of the Packers, right?
Yeah, it's true.
So, you know, I'm in on Aaron Jones, but I'm in where I have him ranked. I just don't see him. Like, who are we going to bump out of the elites for him? And I don't feel like extending to him, if you will.
Yeah, no, I think it's fair. I just, you know, those are kind of bubble guys on the elites for me. The thing I like about
fading Aaron Jones, Hack, I've got him above his ADP.
Yeah, no, his ADP is 36, so end of round three, you've got him just at the beginning of round three, around 26.
I mean, I've been in probably 20 drafts in the last 5 days.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Aaron Jones get past, say, 28.
That's my favorite part. I've been doing a ton of mocks and a lot of my drafts myself, and we've got the big one obviously this weekend. But my favorite part of the draft right now, and the early part of it, is the second round because of guys you can get like that I feel like are near elites, if not elites. You know what I mean? Like Damian
second
Williams.
Second round is like holding serve.
Yeah,
like everybody better make a good pick in this. Like if you're not taking one of the elites in the second round, you're making a big mistake.
You're in trouble.
People going Mahomes in round two. Check your head. I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm sure when you did the quarterback podcast. By the way, if you haven't caught Pete's quarterback podcast, I'm not going to tell you you're gonna love the opening, or you might hate it. It could go either way. But we've been practicing. We've been preaching what we preach here for a long time, which is patience at quarterback. And you took it to an extreme with what was like 12 songs about patience and waiting on opening that.
I had a little fun with GarageBand on the intro.
Yeah. You had me through Tom Petty's The Waiting, which I think was like the fourth or fifth song. Then it got a little tired for me, but I enjoyed it.
I was trying to make a point, Jim.
I caught that. Not the most
so
subtle way to go about
it. Was made at the 3-minute mark?
Not the most subtle way to go about it, but essentially why I even brought it up.
But you get it, right? The whole idea
totally
was to
get
make
it.
You wait.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I got it. I picked it up. Sometimes you have to hit me over the head several times for me to get a point, but I did
sometimes
get it.
We do.
And I agree with you on it. But what I found was interesting is feedback, you know, because in that, it's easy to read that you're like, why are you telling me not to take Pat Mahomes? And look at statistically, he'll be a juggernaut if he plays the whole season, which we expect he will, stay healthy. He'll be an absolute juggernaut. He'll be the biggest point getter. But there's a rationale to waiting on him, and it's building that foundation. It's not saying don't take Pat Mahomes, but take him smartly.
Pat Mahomes. He's fun.
Yeah, take him smartly. And I'm just curious about the feedback that you got. Like, are people kind of down with where?
No problem. I mean, they're Rotobon listeners, man. They're with it.
They're there.
Yeah. I mean, it's the new people that you're really trying to hammer. Like,
yep.
Who haven't been here before. Like, here's how we roll. And look, if your season is going to be made by having Pat Mahomes on your team and that's what's going to make you happy, well, then put Pat Mahomes on your team. But if winning is what makes you happy, you know, wait till the elites are off the board before you consider adding any quarterback.
Yeah, no, for sure. True right down the line. And by the way, there's a million of them. I think the whole reason
well, that's, yeah,
for the
that's
podcast the is we talked about it online, offline. there's two dozen that you could rely on this year.
I got Wentz in the ninth round yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, how you doing?
Yeah.
This guy's loaded. He's healthy this year. He's got weapons. They got weapons. They can't find a way to get out of the field. They got one of the better offensive lines out there. They got a defense that's going to keep giving the ball back. They got a good schedule. Like, why am I not loving Carson Wentz?
Yeah.
You know, 100 picks later. It's easy.
All day.
Yeah.
All day. All right. I want to get into one of the guys who's giving us agita throughout the preseason here, which is Antonio Brown. Like, what is going on with him? Didn't I like him a couple of years ago? I remember liking him.
Yeah. Look, he's got some stuff going on, you know. AB has got a lot of money now, and I think he's just sort of turned into an eccentric.
You know? I think Dancing on the Stars was, if you we look at his career arc over his life, that will be the death nail.
You think that's
that where it the changed?
Fonzie moment.
That's where it changed. Yep.
That's where he jumped the shark.
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe. I think it's just a guy who doesn't need to say he's sorry anymore. You know.
Mm.
I mean, that's, you know, it's a, remember that line from Batman 1? Why are the rich so eccentric? They can afford to be. You know.
Yeah.
I just think that's sort of it. And he got sick of, you know, kissing butt in Pittsburgh, and for all we know, he was right. For all we know. And this thing with the hat, the helmet, I can sort of understand it. I mean, I think he's being a little bit of a whack job about it.
No question.
But I can understand it, you know. I mean, anybody who's ever played with a helmet, you understand that it affects your sight line, right?
Well, look, Brady doesn't like it. I think, you know, his peripheral vision, I think it impacts that. So right. I can see it from a quarterback perspective.
Right. Anybody who's ever tried to catch a football with a helmet on probably gets it a little bit, because it takes a while for that peripheral stuff to disappear. Eventually you just get used to it and it disappears. But when you change it, all of a sudden it's there.
Yep.
So he needs to wear the darn helmet for X period of time and he'll get used to it. It'll sort of disappear from his field of vision and he'll be fine. You know, but he's a rich guy now. He doesn't like being told what to do.
Yeah, I don't know how much of this with the Raiders has to do with Hard Knocks, but this seems like real to me in terms of what is happening to him.
Is it okay for me to say I don't watch Hard Knocks?
That's fine. I mean, like,
I just can't
look at. We're fantasy football and football analysts, so to speak. But there's a lot of good TV out there, and there's a lot
there
of football out there. You know what I mean?
Hey, people enjoy Hard Knocks. Good for them.
Yeah.
I just can't. I'm sorry.
Well, I just wonder how much of it like is theater. But to me, it kind of seems real. And I actually think
AB getting out of his car thing. I mean, that was theater.
Yeah, that was.
What else would that be? You know, that was like something out of Major League, right?
Yeah. But I got to tell you, like, what concerns me, and you've got him, look at.
There's only one thing.
It's been a long time since you could, you know, see Antonio Brown with an ADP of 25, a long time. We're talking about when he was like, you know, somewhere just after being second fiddle to Hines Ward. It's been a long time. And I think, but there's good rationale for it. I don't think this is something not to, you know, something to dismiss. I'm taking it seriously. Like, I kind of don't want him on my team because I don't know what I'm going to get.
I'm drafting Antonio Brown.
Yeah?
You give me Antonio Brown at the end of the second round, I'm smashing that button every single time.
He probably shows up and does what it does Antonio Brown things, but there's so much talent around there, Pete. You know?
Like, if Antonio Brown flakes out and retires in the middle of the year and it costs me one league, I'll live with it.
Yeah.
I think the odds are much better that he's going to play like Antonio Brown. And I'm going to be sitting there with, you know, Kamara and Antonio Brown.
So yeah, not a bad start.
I'm willing to go that way.
I hear you. Look, I've had him a bunch of times. He's awesome to have on a team. He can just drop a quick score on you, and I don't think that goes away if he plays. And I think he will. There's just a lot of flags there that I'm not loving.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but you look at the discount.
It's there.
I mean, if this guy's still in Pittsburgh and none of this ever happened, he's being argued as maybe the top guy on the board. So, you know, we're getting Antonio Brown when we already have one of the top three backs. I mean,
yeah, pretty good. He was my safe play last year. I mean, he was the guy in the first round that you could take and say, "All right, I'm going to get what I'm going to get," and there's little risk. And but what a difference a year makes, you know.
Here's the thing: the way you get burned on Antonio Brown is if somehow he just doesn't care about his own legacy. If he doesn't care about his legacy at all, maybe we're in trouble.
Mm.
But to me, you're a Hall of Fame player. You are beloved by fantasy footballers all over the planet. I don't think he suddenly wants to turn into a pariah. I think eventually he's going to want to go out and ball.
One would think a lot of it's going to have to do with like how many what kind of people are around him. You know, I wonder who's around him. And
you know he's going to get the volume, right?
Yeah,
we know that. I think Carr is more functional than he gets credit for. I think Gruden's scheme is better than people think.
Yeah, a little underrated. He's a creative guy.
Yeah,
Gruden's creative. He's been out of the game a while, but now that was last year's conversation. He's a year back in, and he's a smart guy. He was smart before he retired. You know.
There were some weeks that I watched the Raiders last year where I'm like, man, this is a pretty interesting offense. So I'm just saying, I am not – is Gruden a little bit of a weirdo? Sure. And the Gruden-Mayock thing, is that strange? Oh, yeah. But let's not be silly. This guy's got rings and stuff. I mean, he can coach.
All right. I want to get back into the fantasy stuff with more players, kind of more perspective and more strategy after we come back from the break, which we're going to do right now. You're listening to the Fantasy Football Hour on Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome back. Jim and Pete, Fantasy Football Hour. Big, big fantasy football weekend. Before the break, we got into Pete's elites, the top 21. You got to leave your draft with at least two of these guys, right? And I'm in agreement with a lot of these guys. I gave Pete a nice little pat in the back, little neck rub for Nick Chubb at five.
It's what I live for, heck.
Yeah. So the rest of the fantasy football world are catching up, but you've been on that for a while. But you know, I mentioned a couple guys that I would kind of push into the elite category, and we talked about Damian Williams. Just love the fact that he's the potential, at the outset anyway, at a minimum. The guy's getting the juice in the Kansas City offense. I love Aaron Jones. You like him too. There's some little flags there with some past stuff and what's going to happen.
Hey, I love Kerryon Johnson. I had Kerryon Johnson around the bend there for a second.
Matt Patricia running that thing? Oh, I don't know, man.
Dude, Matt Patricia's he's killing me, man. Yeah. He's killing my inner football child. It's ridiculous.
Well, you remember a few years ago when I think I compared him to Andy Gresh, a former sports broadcaster in this market. That wasn't a compliment. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, why is he so hell-bent against fun? I just don't get it.
Yeah.
And not to mention, why are you taking Kerryon Johnson off the field? I mean, I'm all for a mix-and-match backfield if you've got mix-and-match parts, but when you've got a stud, get him the rock.
One would think, you know, and by the way, they're in a tough division, you know.
And you've got something that you can sort of get behind.
Yeah.
And pound the rock, get teams up, and then they've got weapons. You can attack downfield with their weapons. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe he's smoke screening and they're going to use him a ton. I'm playing it sort of cautious.
The Bears are emerging. That's a really tough offense. That's an emerging offense.
It's a fun division, yeah.
Yeah,
all those teams are sort of in an interesting place, except for maybe the Lions.
Yeah, so but if I'm the Lions, I'm going for it, man. I'm putting my chips behind my big guys. They're so conservative, man.
You know, we've seen this with people when they leave Belichick. They try to sort of be Belichick.
Yeah, but they take all the bad stuff. They don't take the great stuff.
Well, and the other thing is, you know,
take the smart stuff. You know what I mean?
That's really good.
And there's a lot of it.
I don't know if I agree with what you're saying, but that's really funny.
Well, look at Mangini, you know.
Well, no,
all
what I'm about
guys.
To say is these guys, they leave Belichick, they try to be Belichick, and you don't get to be Belichick without the pelts, as Parcells like to say. If you don't have the trophies on the wall, you can't order everybody around. You have to go earn your stripes.
Right.
So they walk in like they're Bill Belichick. It doesn't work.
Hoodie, man, he's the emperor for a reason. He's running stuff, and he's the best that ever walked the planet. Take the good stuff. Take the good stuff.
Yeah, I think you actually, we should talk about this on the pod sometimes. You and I should do a whole pod on if you are Bill Belichick coach and you get a job, what should you bring? That's a really good hour-long pod. But right now, let's get back into fantasy.
How about the preparation and the attention to detail and all
attention
that stuff?
Attention to detail. All the stuff that Revis was raving about when I heard him on the radio when he came back to the Jets. I've never been able to find that interview, but I mean, Revis was basically like, you know, just to sort of condense it to a line, there's nothing like playing for Belichick. But there's nothing else like it.
But how about the work ethic and the commitment to his craft, the investment that he makes? Yeah. I mean, can you imagine being
related
to
him? Let's save this for a pod. This is not helping anyone with fantasy.
All right.
Sorry.
This is a wormhole to be...
No, we should do a whole pod on this. We really should. But let's get back to what you were talking about the elites.
All right. I remember what I was saying. So there's guys I would push into that tier. So you heard before the break kind of where I'm at with Antonio Brown.
Right.
I think he's a freak show now, and I'm a little worried. The guy you have ranked right behind him is the guy that, you know, if I've done my job at the top and I'm confident what I can do after, which I am, how about George Kittle?
Oh, well, I love George Kittle.
How about George Kittle?
He's one of my favorite people. And Zach Ertz, I think, in a full PPR is arguably as good or better. The problem with taking those guys there, for me, it's not that they don't merit the pick. I think they are elites. The problem is, I'm getting Evan Engram and O.J. Howard on the next turn.
Yeah, I hear you. You can get them in round three, round four, maybe round five if you get lucky.
Late round four, round five, a lot of the time round six.
Wow.
Okay, I got O.J. Howard consistently mid-fifth this week. People are not going after O.J. Howard in the fourth. Really, like sharks are, but you get yourself into a normal draft, he's getting into the fifth with regularity, and so is Engram. Mm. Okay, so... my problem is, I think Engram might potentially be able to be the tight end one this year. It wouldn't surprise me if O.J. Howard is considered the tight end one next year. These guys are really, really good and freaky. So if I can get them at the next turn, it's
getting an elite receiver at the same time.
Or maybe reach a little bit and take the Aaron Jones, take that running back that we're not going to be able to get later. So, you know, do I want David Montgomery and Kittle? Or do I want to take Aaron Jones or Damian Williams and pair him with O.J. Howard?
I like that. And that's my fishbowl team, by the way. That's what I did. I had,
it always comes back to your team, Hackett. You know, always. Without fail.
Just making a parallel. You know?
But it's like, a good one.
Like, let's say, you know, we didn't draft on July 8th. I wouldn't have taken Melvin Gordon, okay? But I started that draft, Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, that's a bad beat. I feel bad for you.
Yeah, that stinks. Melvin Gordon went, you know, assuming he was playing on July 8th, But Damian Williams, Aaron Jones, and then O.J. Howard.
Right.
You know?
And look, that was a different draft, okay?
Yeah.
In that draft, I'm taking the tight end at the turn because it's tight end premium scoring.
A lot of points from that, in that league for tight end.
So, if in this scenario, I would take Kittle at the turn there because even if it comes back and O.J. Howard falls to me, I'm going to take him too.
Sure.
Right? But in typical leagues, 90% of our listening audience, it's not tight end premium scoring. It's not a thing where you want to take two tight ends in your first five picks. And what you want to do is nail that first tight end pick and do it in such a way where your surrounding talent is maximized. And I think waiting till the next turn is probably better. In fact, Jim, sometimes, like if you have a mid pick, if you're in the middle of the round, sometimes I'm getting to round five and O.J. Howard's still on the board. Ingram's still on the board. And, Hunter Henry, still on the board, who is also right there in that elite category for me. And he's got Phillip Rivers. How you doing? He's got a good quarterback and loves to work the middle of the field. So I want one of these six guys, ideally. And when all three of them are on the board in the middle of the fifth, and then sometimes I can look to my left and see, hey, look where Kelce went and look where Ertz went. There's no way three tight ends are going around the bend on me.
Right.
I end up getting one of these guys in the sixth.
Yep, and now you got a great foundation. You have a great foundation at running back
business.
And receiver, and then a really good tight end with upside.
You're sitting there with three running backs you like, two wide receivers you like, and an elite tight end, and now you're just wide open. You can take best player available next round. Now you're off to the races.
Yeah, and by the way, and again, not a slight on Greg Kittle. You know, you like him, I love him, and you love him, I love
George Kittle, and we love him a ton. Yeah. Kittle is the lead receiver in his offense.
Yeah.
George Kittle's a number one receiver.
Yeah. And by the way, on that offense, Garoppolo laid an egg and a half the other night, but it's not changing my opinion of what the 49ers can do. I like
Jimmy's a red light performer. We know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Turn it on, and he comes in.
I mean, for years, we heard he was having mediocre practices with the Patriots.
With the Pats,
So this is nothing. This is nothing new. Not to mention, you got a guy coming off a major injury. So,
yeah.
I mean, give Garoppolo the preseason, for crying out loud.
And by the way, just going back to what you were saying about tight ends and being strategic with where the values are, you know, even the guys after that, I'm not afraid of those guys. And certainly there's a whole bunch of them. You can hedge your bet with a tight end too. I mean, I like guys like Delanie Walker and Njoku and Hockenson. I mean, you can make good hay there and really stack up your position and get multiple elites at the top of the positions you really need.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. I mean, I don't like getting into the muck at tight end. I really want one of the types, the top six, but I want them on my terms. Yeah. And if I can't get them on my terms, yeah, I'll go into that second level. And Delanie Walker's a nice sort of, you know, toehold, if you will.
Yeah.
The one thing, you know, the thing about tight ends that we've seen the last couple of years is they do sort of start dropping like flies once the bullets start flying. Mm. And we already saw, I don't know if you saw, but Jordan Reed took a nasty head-on-head shot last night.
Just a matter of time.
He might be in concussion protocol already. Oh, yeah. And but yeah, in all honesty, he got headhunted.
Yeah.
This was not Jordan Reed being soft or injury-prone. This was a guy who just, I mean, the guy just did a, it looked as intentional as it can be, a head-to-head shot. You know, hopefully Jordan Reed's okay, but it, quite frankly, right now, since I think he'd already had like 7 or 8 concussions, I think right now, until we hear good news on Jordan Reed, I would fade him.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
Which is too bad, because I was sort of leaning in on him 13th, 12th, something like that.
Well, he's one of those guys, like if the draft falls a different way to you, it doesn't go the way that you maybe anticipate, you could actually, prior to getting the concussion news, take him and feel at least a little confident for the beginning of the season. You know, maybe have a backup plan, like a young guy, like a Hockenson or something behind him.
I love the idea of taking Hockenson and Reed together, playing Reed until Hockenson's ready or until Reed goes down. I love that idea. I mean, you know how much I like Hockenson.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're conditioned to say tight ends can't have big rookie seasons, but if there's a guy who can do it, if there's a guy who can just grunk out as a rookie, it's this guy.
Well, Stafford's going to need him, I think. You know, because it's a kind of a conservative mindset bleeding from the top from Patricia, and that leads me to think that he's going to have that Binky guy, and I think Hockenson's going to be that Binky guy.
Stafford's an underrated quarterback in my view. He can feed the seam nicely. I see no reason why he and Hockenson can't become very good friends.
Yep. All right, that sounds good. So when we come back from the break, here's what I want to do. I want to hit some risers, some fallers, and get people some good content before they draft as we start to round up the fantasy football's drafting season. It's the best part of the year, Christmas in August. Sports Radio, WEEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, Jim and Pete back. Fantasy Football Hour, Sports Radio WEEI. We have done a lot so far in this show. Now we want to hit my favorite spot. We've hit the top 21, the elites. Push back on a couple guys. I think that maybe you can extend it. Had some good conversation around the clown, Antonio Brown, Antonio Clown, as I might start calling him. But I want to get into some upside guys, some risers, or some guys that I'm kind of thinking about, you know, as we head into more drafts that I kind of want to bounce past you and have some dialogue on.
Sure.
So, without further ado, let's keep it local. And we talked about him a lot last week, but there's been a big jump in a week. How about Josh Gordon? You know, I picked him up in the Scott Fish Bowl. Now, this is before we knew he was coming back, so I got him in the 15th round. He's trending now in like the 5th or 6th round.
I think I got him in the 16th, but I don't want to brag. I'm kidding. I've been taking him in the 7th when I like my team build. That's sort of been my
I like that
strategy because he's been there.
In the 7th round, let's say you've got like a good solid core. Like three good receivers, three running backs, or like 3 and 2, and maybe a good tight end, and then bang.
And then I'm sitting there like, how could I mess this up? Ooh, Josh Gordon. I mean, look, for some people, I think don't do it because you don't want – some people can't handle the swings and the risk and the volatility, right? Mm. They don't want to have to sit there and sweat Josh Gordon every week. And this is especially true if you play in like 1 or 2 leagues. But for me, I play in like 20.
Yeah, so you could take a swing and miss.
I'm fine with a little Josh Gordon exposure, especially when it's in a round where I'm not too worried. You know, so the scenarios where I've taken him so far have been when he's my third receiver, I already have 3 backs, and it's like, hey, what could put this team like over the top?
Yeah.
You know what? Josh Gordon would put this team over the top, and I'll take him. You know, now if there's some other really compelling guy that's still there in the 7th for me, I'm probably going to go that way.
Right.
But, you know, at some point, it's like, hey, someone's going to get this guy. Maybe they'll use him to beat me. Let's get him off the board. I'll play him when he's playing.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. Even if he gives you what he did last year, like 10 weeks, I'll take 10 weeks of Josh Gordon because as the season progresses, it has a life and breath of its own. I mean, we're talking about all these guys. You and I play in really deep leagues, but we'll go, you know, 300-plus players deep, and there's still talent on the waiver wire every year, and it starts week one, and it goes all the way through the year.
Yeah,
so
that's another good point.
I have no fear drafting Josh Gordon.
You know? The shorter your league is, the more I'm willing to take Gordon.
Right.
Because I've got a much bigger eraser on my pencil in a league where only 150 players are rostered. You know, if I take him as my third receiver and then he busts, well, I know I'm going to be able to find another solid third receiver.
Yeah.
So what the heck?
Well, it changes all the time. And we just saw it with Kansas City. Like, you and I both agree we want big pieces of that offense. Now, you know, time goes by, and now the rookie, you know, Darwin Thompson, he's looking like he's probably the number two guy.
Yeah.
He can also catch the ball. He might even get the goal line in certain instances. So, you know, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Maybe you get the goal line. I don't know. I mean, I like Darwin Thompson. He's a nice little back. And he's one of the reasons I don't want to lean in on, you know, Damian in the second round, because the way I'm looking at this backfield, I know a lot of people don't agree with this, but if I take Damian Williams, I'm going to all but make sure I get Darwin Thompson.
Yep.
Like, I'm not messing around. I want Andy Reid's back, who's going to be in there in passing situations and get a little bit of the early down juice. One of these guys is going to be that guy. And, you know, I'm not going to take Damian Williams in the second round and then leave myself open to getting punked quickly and watching somebody else do the jig with Darwin Thompson.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let that happen. And this is all about, this isn't about me loving these players. This is about me loving their station. This is about me loving the platform that they get to play from.
Kansas City's going to score, man. They're going to score a lot.
Right.
A lot.
And in that scheme, they have got so much speed, and Kelce and this phenomenal quarterback and one of the best play callers on the planet Earth. You want the running back in the middle of that? Yeah, you do. Yep. You could put Bilal Powell as the starter on that team, and I'd be taking him in the second round if he was locked in.
I think Brandon Bolden could be a nice little player in that.
Brandon Bolden be a darn RB3,
yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Yep.
I'm just saying, like, it's not real hard to run in an Andy Reid offense when everything's normal. You put Pat Mahomes in there with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Sammy Watkins. Yeah, I want the running back. Thank you very much.
All right. Let's get into some more risers, some guys that their lot in life has changed a lot since we last spoke. And so one of those guys is Duke Johnson. Now, Duke Johnson's a guy I know you have always been.
I'm going to try hard not to get too excited.
Yeah, no, I love him in Houston, man. I actually think, like, you like Lamar Miller a little bit more than me, and I could be like a jolted lover kind of thing from fantasy football perspective if I had a little bit too much Lamar Miller in my life. So Duke Johnson,
the people
going
hate Lamar Miller are the people who've reached for him.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it happens.
Yeah.
If you pay the right price for Miller, he generally takes care of you.
He's a decent back, and he gets you some stats, you know.
Yeah.
But
nothing
Duke,
special.
But Duke Johnson being there with the talent they have at wide receiver at Houston with Deshaun Watson, I'm liking that a lot. If they can figure out how to maximize him, I just see his trajectory. He's one of those rare guys where I see his trajectory rising as the season goes on, and that's really attractive to me.
Same kind of thing. It's sort of the way I see it, too. He's obviously new. He hasn't been there that long, just a week or so at this point. So I wouldn't expect Duke Johnson to necessarily light the world on fire week one. But, you know, as I said on the pod the other day, eventually this coaching staff is going to have enough of a side-by-side comparison where they've looked at Duke and Miller next to each other in practice long enough where they're going to go, wait a minute, we might be playing the wrong guy here. Mm. You know, Duke Johnson is an incredible natural football player. He's got phenomenal instincts. He sees the creases. He's got outstanding hands. He runs routes. This guy can play slot. He's like Theo Riddick. You can just put him in the slot and let him play slot.
Yeah.
I don't mean like motioning your back to the slot. I mean like he's your slot receiver.
Yeah.
So like if something happens to Kiki Kuti, they could just put Duke in the slot.
Yep.
And then maybe both of our running backs are now going to rock and roll. Who knows? But for me, Duke Johnson, like you don't give up a fourth that can accelerate to a third to get a running back in August unless you have some ideas about what you're doing with him.
Yeah. And we've seen it. We've seen it here plenty of times. I mean, think about like Rex Burkhead, what the Patriots can do with him.
Right, but look at what people pay for football players in August. Usually it's like throwaway picks.
Yep.
Someone's actually going to give up something that could turn into a third for our running back, a guy who's going to have to be paid pretty soon. That means they wanted him.
Yep. And here's the thing. When sourcing my ADP that I got from like Fantasy Football Calculator, this is probably on the on the rise, meaning like getting lower and lower.
Yeah.
But he's coming in at like 150, 160.
Yeah.
How's my aim? I mean, that's, you know.
Well, it's tough for me to say because I'm the one who's taken him in most of the drafts I've been in. So I can tell you he's going in the eighth round of the drafts I've been in. When I've let him slide, he tends to get like to the ninth or the tenth is what my experience is right now. So people are waking up a little bit.
So you're jumping where? Like the eighth, ninth?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it depends on what my build is, the team I've got. If I'm loaded at running back, I might be a little more patient. But in a full PPR league where I'm looking for a running back in, say, the eighth round, yeah, I'm very okay with Duke.
Well, when we look at your rankings,
yeah.
So his ADP, 160 from Fantasy Football Calculator, your overall rank, 72.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge, huge gap there.
Doesn't mean you take him at 72, which I mentioned in the Rotobon draft plan. So, you know, if you're using Rotobon cheat sheets, folks, I encourage you to listen to the draft plan because it sort of tells you, you know, how to go about targeting players within the cheat sheet. And, yeah, Duke is a guy I want, but like Jim says, his ADP is pretty high. So what you want to do is sort of find that nexus point where ADP and value sort of meet, and you can get the guy a lot cheaper than you have him ranked, but in advance of his ADP, so you will get him. And for me, eighth, ninth round, Duke Johnson, that's good business.
Yeah, if you have a lot of dummies in the room that you're drafting with, you could probably wait till his ADP, but know your room.
Right,
you know?
And that can be a good thing to do if you've got players you really want to fill in. But I get to a point, again, in PPR, where it's like, man, I'm just going to get Duke Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, because, again, remember, like I said, he can play receiver. I mean, the Browns, before Chubb came in and all this stuff happening, they actually were using Duke in the slot, like straight up. So we're talking about a team where Kuti is banged up already, and he was banged up all last year. We love Will Fuller, but
it's always hurt.
He spends as much time in the trainer's room as on the field.
Always hurt.
You know, it really wouldn't blow my mind if Duke Johnson ended up in a hybrid role where he was doing a lot.
You also have a team that's got, you know, decent tight ends, but there's no one that stands out on Houston.
That's exactly the way I would put it. Their tight ends are functional. They can use them, and Watson uses them effectively, but no, they don't have an alpha.
Yeah, Jordan Thomas, Jordan Akins, Darren Fells. I mean, this, you know, the rookie is Cahill Waring.
Absolutely. They're all interesting players.
Yep. Yeah. Functional.
I think at some point one of them may emerge and be pretty good.
All right, let's get into a couple more before they kick us out of here. So let's go back to San Francisco. We talked about our buddy Jimmy G, tough night the other night, but that's an interesting backfield. How about Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman, those guys?
I'm targeting Breida just because I see that backfield personally as sort of a 50-50 split.
Mm.
And I think if you watch both of those running backs last year, the better running back was Breida.
Well, Breida also...
That's just my film watching. I saw at least 150 carries from both of those guys last year. Breida was a better back. And he's a good receiver. Like, that would be the separation point because Coleman runs really good routes and he's a good receiver.
Yep.
But Breida, he keeps up a little bit in that range, that area. So I think this is a backfield where they're going to use both of these guys a lot. And since I have to pay like 5-6 round prices for Coleman and I can get Breida like 8, 9, 10, maybe even 11, yeah, I'm going to focus on getting Breida.
Well, Breida's also shown something to me in the past, which is like, no matter, I mean, he is like a Timex man. He takes the licks and he keeps going. I mean,
well, that's another
thing.
Last year, you watch his film, and when you watch it, remember, this guy's playing with a hurt ankle much of the year, and he's still out there running with like loads of heart. I mean, this kid, Matt Breida's got heart, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he runs with heart. I love him. I really do.
Yep.
And he fits the scheme.
He's not a huge guy either. He's just tough.
No, he's just a good running back.
Yep.
He's really good at the game.
All right, here's a really interesting one that's been kind of moving up people's ADP charts that I've seen around the industry, getting a lot of articles about him, seeing a lot about Latavius Murray, okay?
Mm.
And it's an interesting one because if you look at it in a vacuum, as you would say, does he just slot into the old Mark Ingram role with the Saints? And if so, that looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Where are you on him? I mean, I feel pretty good about him where he's at, and he always seems to like over deliver where going into a draft or a season I have him, and I'm wondering if, you know, do I go against my historical instincts and kind of follow the wave or kind of sit back where I'm at?
I just don't really see the upside without injury. That's my problem.
Mm.
Is that he's in a part of the draft board where I want somebody better. Like, I don't want to settle for the New Orleans be back. Where Murray's going off the board.
Yeah.
Put a bow on it.
We got about 20 seconds.
Okay. I'm a big believer in Kamara. I'm scared that Divino Zigbo could come in and earn like a Chris Ivory type role.
That's the other guy, yep.
And then like what happens to Murray in that scenario? So I think Kamara's getting an uptick. I'm worried about this rookie carving out a role because we've seen Peyton. He loves to use like 3 and 4 backs.
He's done it forever.
He's a mad scientist. So, you know, look, a lot of smart people say Murray's a good pick. I don't think he's a horrible pick. I'm going a different way personally.
All right. Check out the rankings at Rotobon.com. The Rotobon 500 is up. It's being updated all the time. Check out Pete at Rotobon on Twitter. I'm at WEI Hacksaw. Once we get into the season, get those texts in at 37937. We'll be answering your questions all the live long day on Sundays. So long, everybody, and good luck.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.